We're talking with Jerome Rothenberg. He's the author of over 50 books of poetry. He's a translator, performance poet pioneer, and editor of several groundbreaking anthologies, including Poems for the Millennium. I'm Paul Nelson. Lorca Variations is a book of yours that was created after you were not able to publish those translations of the suites as you had expected. Maybe you can tell us about that experience, and more importantly, about the process of writing the Lorca Variations.
Yeah, the experience was simply that I had been commissioned to do the complete suites of Lorca by Forrest Straus, big publisher in New York, and it was to be part of a large collected poems of Lorca in English, so you know, the biggest English language version of Lorca yet published. But my understanding was that I would also be permitted, prior to that publication, to publish my translations as a separate volume, and I thought of this as my return to Lorca and a kind of homage to a poet who had been important to me at the beginning of my career as a maker of poetry. Well, publication plans changed for Forrest Straus, and they rushed the big book into publication. And suddenly, I found that you know, I was included as part of this this large volume, you know, but without a separate publication as homage. And I felt very badly about that. And but then figured I had other means for carrying through on paying my respects to Federico, and so I entered into a process of writing, in which I went back to a number of the poems in suites, with each poem I extracted all of the English nouns. I mean, in other words, this is my translations, you know, and although it's Lorca's poems to start with, you know, the words are words of our language, or words that I've selected as the poet translator, and I set the words up in columns and moved among the columns, picking out the words, all of the nouns in the Lorca poems, sometimes in a very systematic way, sometimes in a very free way, you know, but so as to, in each poem, have all of Lorca's nouns attended to, you know, and poems emerged that on the one hand were very different, you know, and on the other hand were clearly Lorca. It was a step for me beyond translation. You know, it's not paraphrase. It's really a way of creating new poems based on the gathering of words from the other poet, and the result was a book of 33. Poems plus one, 33, 34, poems called that I called the Lorca Variations.
Yeah, the key word, I guess, is other. And when we look at the stance toward poetry that many in the avant-garde of the 20th century take, as opposed to the mainstream, there's less of an ego involved and more of a poet as medium, or at least as person who allows other voices into the poem, chance operations. And you use the word othering during your workshop. Of course, you put that on a word processor and it's going to redline it as not being a word.
But it does it all the time. that's why we cut out that function from our computers.
It's tough for poets, isn't it? It just doesn't get poetry. But why don't you tell us about this notion of othering, and the notion of trying to, as Olson said, rid yourself of the lyrical interference of the ego.
Yeah, well, of course, we all carry our egos with us, so you know, it is perhaps a vain ambition to, you know, to think that you're going to rid yourself of ego, you know. But lyrical interference. I mean, the lyric is taken, you know, if we take it in not in the sense of song, but in the sense of a first person poetry, the most subjective form of poetry. You know, ultimately, this has its limitations. It throws the poet back on himself, herself. And that's okay, but it also narrows down the field of poetry. You know, and when we imagine ourselves to be part of a lineage going back to a Homer or a Dante or a Shakespeare, you know, poetry is a big proposition there. Partly it's big because you know, Dante, Shakespeare, Homer, you know, worked extensively, and it was these were large works. You know, but even the possibility that in the shorter work. The short poem, the medium-sized poem, and that there would be room for you know, for more than that kind of vaunted self-expression, the possibility of being able to express other selves. Selves other than me, that the poet can be a spokesman for others and bear witness in the name of others, and this is, I think, has been an ambition of poetry, let's say, of poets in America, you know, going back to the time of the great founding poet Walt Whitman, you know, who in the great poem cryptically called "Song of Myself" attempted to bring all possible selves into the poem, for everything belonging to me as well belongs to you, he said.
Voices of the diseased, of and so on and so forth. And so.
Yeah. Also, the long suppressed, through me, many long suppressed voices, Whitman says, and you know, and that has for years been uppermost in my mind, and so. Techniques of poetry, collage, appropriation, chance operations, the kind of variations that I'm speaking about, you know, have seemed to me to be, you know, not just ways of playing around with language, you know, but ways of othering, of bringing the voices of others into the into the poem. And in that sense, also, not just to establish identity, but in a way to put identity into question.
Yeah.